know, Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas are both free agents this year. So was a few defensive players. I mean, I know they brought some in, but it's quite a bit when you have 17 of your 53-man roster as a free agent. That's a lot of signings you need to resign.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you mentioned that here. We were, you know, probably going to touch on that here in our first effort to do the show here. But, hey, I'm Kyle Nash, the student of the game. This is NGSC Sports, and we are still going to push on and give you a recording the best that we can. Weasel, you were saying something about Lance Briggs being a factor, too, as well. He probably should retire. Just because he's not, yeah, that old gray mule ain't what he used to be. I mean, but yeah. As far as Fox and the Bears, should your wife, an avid Bears fan, have any hope?
Yeah,
of coming. Oh, John okay. Fox, that was excited. There you go.
The thing about the Bears is that defense. It's like about what I was saying about Briggs is that he's getting up there in age, and last year I think he had some injury problems.
Sure.
Besides him, your notable Bears players, you would have a. Christmas tree.
Tillman.
Peanut Tillman. He had problems with injuries last year.
He's probably about done himself, actually.
Kyle Fuller's their bright spot.
He was nice, yeah.
Rookie defense and cornerback. But I think Fox brings winning ways.
Yep.
Because I think there's a lot of doubt with even with that offense last year. Because he's gonna adopt an offense with Cutler. You got Brandon Marshall, you got at wide receiver. You also have Alshon Jeffrey. You got Martellus Bennett, who made the Pro Bowl. He made the Pro Bowl in place of Gronk. And
because Gronk's going, yes. Well, we don't want to give too much away. Because there's an opening. Yeah.
So he has a lot to work with on offense and defense. It's going to be built through the draft. Maybe they could pick up some agents because I think they do have money to spare. So.
Yeah, and that's a good outlook, too. And, I mean, here's the thing, guys. Other than Peyton Manning, who was going to be the best quarterback ever under John Fox?
Not Jake Delhomme.
Not Jake Delhomme. I wouldn't say your other boy.
What do you...
Tim Tebow?
Tebow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you won a playoff game with Tim Tebow, perhaps you're forgetting.
He did.
Nonetheless, if he could accomplish all that with Delhomme and Tim Tebow, doing something with Cutler is possible. Now, Grant, the challenge with him is different. He's not lacking in talent, per se, but I think it's a kind of trying to reach him kind of a situation, maybe like, say, a Singletary and Alex Smith in San Francisco in past seasons. Weasel.
The whole thing with Tebow, one thing that the offense for the Broncos, the reason why that offense worked, I think, sometimes, not always.
Worked sometimes.
But
I like that.
The way John Fox made that offense was to fit Tebow. He wasn't trying to make Tebow into a different quarterback. Whatever his strengths were, that's what they focused on, and that's why Tebow was successful. Cutler, he's a little bit more, I think, refined on his throw and stuff like that. So maybe he could reach him because...
Are you implying that John Fox is a versatile coach?
Yeah. It's sometimes there are offensive and defensive coordinators that say, you will fit my scheme when
you should really coach the other way, which is why Tom Coughlin had the success that he did in Jacksonville and then even more success in New York. I like where you're going there. Granted, I'll give Mike McCoy his credit in Denver as offensive coordinator at the time, who has now brought a renaissance to Phillip Rivers' career in the past two seasons. But John Fox was also involved as the head coach there, too. Weasel, what were you saying?
I think pretty much it's just like if you have a shutdown corner and then you force him to play into a cover two defense where the guys have to be like 10 yards back or 7 yards back.
Are you mentioning... Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie and Nnamdi Asamoah when they were struggling for the Eagles a couple years back, for example?
Yeah. Those were the two guys. Yeah, they got paid. So.
Bastard!
So.
Yeah, see. That's some good thoughts there, too. I dig it. It's similar to how the Steelers draft, too. Hey, we used to know how our defensive scheme works with Dick LeBeau being no more there in Pittsburgh, unfortunately, but They didn't necessarily focus on keeping the scheme. They focused on finding players to fit that scheme. There you go, Weasel. It's an excellent point.
Well, the Steelers were doing that for a while, but they just it seems like they went away from it the last few years. Because before, I mean, or early 2000s and everything, even before that, they would draft the players that fit their scheme. And then when their contract come up, make them good players. People, they want to get paid. They said, sorry, we'll just find someone else. And they used to go after someone else.
Well, sometimes they would pay them. And if they weren't worthwhile, they would let
them or they're ridiculous looking for money. They're like, go ahead. You can go get other money from some other team. That's fine. We'll find someone else. And they would. And they were doing that. And then after the few, it's like the last like 3 years, it seemed like they were getting up there in age. Before that, when they were always dominant, they weren't getting up there in age all the time because they were always had that turnover defensive players, one or two here or there and everything, because they were getting new players in there over the Steelers because they were fitting the system.
Yeah, I think the place where they failed to fill people in is actually on the defensive line. I think Brent Keisel is like 165 million years old.
Epic beard.
Well, yeah, yeah, I think beard. It's his beard that makes me guess that number. But, I mean,
I think Casey Hampton at one time.
Casey Hampton at one time. And, I mean, he played till I think at least into his 12th year, if not further.
I think Aaron Smith, I believe he was in, he was out.
He got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt last year or so.
So, and I mean, you know, I mean, Timmons, Harrison. Harrison had to return, actually, after playing for the Colts last year, not having very much. They've relied so much on Polamalu. He was out for a good portion of the time. They did manage to do well at the safety position next to him, the free safety spot, with Will Allen, Ryan Clark, and so on. But good guy, by the way, Ryan Clark. Met him in March.
See, what they should have done was move Polamalu to the linebacker and run in a different safety.
I think he might have killed himself. I really think he might have killed himself. Just the way he flies, whoop-ah, you know. I don't know. And then, of course, we mentioned their corners, too. I think I hear where you're going. They spent so much time rotating with linebackers, Chris, and doing what you were talking about, finding Lawrence Timmons. I mean, the old hat, hell, some of them are still playing in this league. James Ferrier, Larry Foote, you know, guys of that caliber. Joey Porter is a name that's now retired, but I mean, was a member of this class we're talking about.
And that was one of the ones that, like, hey, I want to get paid. And they're like, I'll see you.
Okay, yeah.
We'll find someone else. And they did find, when they found James Harrison. Right.
Yeah, and then James Harrison, Lawrence Timmons came along.
Yeah, he's like, I want to get paid. We're like, see you.
I think it's Ryan Shazier.
I think that's how you say his name. But yeah, I mean, he's the next class. But they have so many holes on the defense now. It's going to be tricky, but I think part of that is they're stuck in cap hell with their receivers as well, too. I know that, for example, Mike Wallace's number got big. Emmanuel Sanders' number is either about to or has been Emmanuel Sanders isn't there anymore, so there you go, right?
Mike Wallace.
Say again?
No Mike Wallace either.
Yeah, or Mike Wallace as well. Yeah, I didn't make that clear. But Antonio Brown's working for him. Martavius Bryant's filling the realm. Give the Steelers 2 more years, I'd say. Granted, hopefully they'll have Big Ben still, or at least his would-be replacement. I think it's about time for them to start looking. Excellent tangent there, guys. Let's go. Let's get back on the coaching carousel track. Back to Mike Tomsula. I think that's his first name. I don't know. But the defensive line coach of the 49ers surpassed the defensive coordinator to take the head coaching job to replace Jim Harbaugh. I'm not going to say it's a bad hire. I don't really think we have any way of knowing, truthfully. I mean, right? Without being more familiar and having, you know, more access to the situation, can we really, I don't know, assess that? I don't know. It's odd for me. But I'll say this. It's better to have, in my opinion, you guys can disagree if you want. I think it's better to have somebody within the organization take that job because of all the drama therein. You know, the whole drama in the ivory tower between Balky and Harbaugh that was going on at the beginning of last season. The whole situation with Aldon Smith. All the stuff that was going on with Ray McDonald before his original his eventual departure. And all sorts of stuff like that going on. Kaepernick's psyche, of course, being, you know, something that's questioned on a regular basis. I think keeping it in-house was the right move if they were trying to keep from too drastic a move happening. I mean, any thought on that, gentlemen?
I would have gone drastic move.
You would have gone drastic move?
I would have gone drastic move.
Who would you
There's actually one name that wasn't even listed on this is Daryl Bevel, the offense coordinator for the Seahawks. That's the one guy I would have gone after for head coach.
I mean, Does that offense impress you?
No, but if you can't beat them, might as well buy them. So,
well, okay.
I mean, you look at the Niners offense and the Seattle's offense. Niners offense on paper is way better than the Seahawks. I mean, you got receivers in San Francisco. You don't have receivers in Seattle. No impressive receivers. I mean, you got Michael Crabtree, Anquan Boldin, Vernon Davis. I mean, then on the other hand, with Seattle, you have Jermaine Kearse, Doug Baldwin, and Luke Wilson. It's like,
in fairness, at the beginning of the season, they did also have Golden Tate and
they didn't have Golden Tate. Golden Tate left in offseason.
Hold on.
Offseason.
Golden Tate and
Percy Harvin.
But they did eventually part with him, and like you guys were quick to jump on me with, Tate did leave in the offseason, and then as the season went on, Harvin
was traded.
Traded as well. So I mean, it's not like they planned to go into that particular situation.
But still, they're still not. They still
even
have
still, even with
right.
Tate and Harvin, it would still be much better in San Francisco. You're right.
Right, but then I mean, how they're comparing, always comparing Kaepernick with Wilson and everything like the style of play. I mean, it's that read option that seems like the Niners went away the last year or two, trying to make Kaepernick a pocket passer and everything that, and not going to his strengths, which he has shown. I mean, that read option that Seattle runs with Lynch, I mean, why not do that with San Francisco with Gore?
Or Hyde.
Right.
I mean,
so, I mean, you got it there. You got the personnel. That's who I would have gone after, because I would have just said, you know what, let's take that offense there and bring it here so we can run that way and then go from there.
That's a seemingly sound a thought process, Chris. I'm not going to take that away from you, but
there's
one.
There. That's why I said drastic. So.
Yeah, it is drastic, but I think there's one thing that you're missing, and it was something Weasel said last week about Russell Wilson. You know what I'm talking about yet?
Not yet.
Okay, but regarding what might happen with his contract coming up next year, does this sound familiar? What'd you
say? He's going to get paid.
He might end up being the highest paid quarterback in the year. So, Weasel, I ask you, if that happens in Seattle, do you think he's going to continue being a read option quarterback?
I think it'll be the same.
So you think they will keep him?
It'll keep him the same. I mean, the guy, it's the kind of the thing with...
I'll put it this way. For the sake of the Seahawks, I hope you're right.
I think he'll still be the same, because they say he's football smart on the field and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Play other ways, I think, differently, but he knows when to get out of bounds. He knows to slide, because, I mean, even last night in the game, he slid when he probably – other read option quarterbacks would have probably tried taking a hit or whatever. He went sliding. I mean, he was sacked a few times just because he was in the pocket. I mean, read option doesn't – he didn't have that many carries last night in the game. He doesn't get that many carries. He gets hit worse in the pocket than he does usually when he's outside, because usually he's looking downfield, running, sliding, or getting out of bounds.
Fair enough. I'll grant you that point. But, yeah, and I think we're touching on that again. I think that's the issue with what happened with the scheme in San Fran. And perhaps bringing in the Seattle coordinator, he would not be afraid to have the now contracted Kaepernick continue to run like he used to. It's a very interesting point. I don't know. I think you got something there. Next up, and this one has a little bit of drama attached to it, former Texans coach, and he was the offensive coordinator with Baltimore.
The Ravens.
Right. Well, now he's the head coach in Denver with the Broncos. Now, gentlemen, thanks to Eric Kusilius, I was reminded of this fact this morning. One, Gary Kubiak was the head coach of the Texans. We cited that earlier. One, Peyton Manning, fresh off of four neck surgeries, trying to return to the game, was looking for a new home. He would rebuke San Francisco, much to my chagrin. And there was a coach, though, who said that he didn't want Peyton Manning. He was looking for a mobile quarterback. Now, I'll grant, I don't get how Ryan Fitzpatrick is mobile, but this coach in question was, of course, Gary Kubiak. Now, I threw out a conspiracy theory the other day that I'm not exactly certain that Peyton Manning was involved with the decision. Matter of fact, it may have been made to kind of get him out of town, so to speak. Could it have been that they were clearing the way for this? I don't know. But Weasel, Kubiak in Denver, any thoughts?
Well, he did have a lot of success in, no, not really with the Texans.
I see what you did
so,
there.
But,
actually, he was around when they got into the playoffs. I'll give him that credit.
Yeah, so, but...
Which involved Peyton Manning leaving the division first, but...
It all leads back to, it's going to Peyton Manning. What he thinks of him and how he heals from his.
Well,
he has an injury that was not disclosed for like a month and a half
until last week, to be specific. Yeah, with the quad injury, and I'll say this about that too, Weasel. Not only is it a matter of what Kubiak thinks, I think it's a matter of Peyton Manning and what he thinks, because it's been alleged that he avoided going to San Francisco because Jim Harbaugh was watching him throw, and they were throwing together, and it was the time he's like, "Man, I could put more mustard on the ball than you," or something like that. And that apparently got a. First of all, good job, Jimmy. A, B, allegedly that got under Peyton Manning's craw a little bit, as they say. So I wonder if this is something that could creep up as far as, Peyton Manning remembering. Maybe he won't care. It's something that could be a potential issue, you know. And by the way, for the record, all the times these people trying to tell me, oh, he didn't want to play against his brother to have to get to the Super Bowl. I knew that was all trash. And this whole thing about Harbaugh and Manning makes much more sense than, oh, he was afraid to play his brother. I don't know why. His brother's been useless against him. Have you not seen the record? Anyways, moving on. Last thing.
Yeah, with Peyton Manning, there are rumors during the week that if he leaves, he might go to Arizona.
Oh, great. Well, hey, we said it last week. That's where old people go to retire. All
right.
Him and Larry Fitzgerald, pretty dangerous.
Right, and then also with John Brown and with that defense.
Michael Floyd, too, is another good receiver. John Carlson at the time. John Carlson is a poor man's Dallas Clark, people. Right? Am I far off there?
No, you're not.
I like that more and more what you talk about.
So, but, you know, they have Carson Palmer coming if he comes back off injury.
Well, the problem is they've also signed him an extension, too. So, yeah.
It's weird because he was signed in 2004 for an extension with the Bengals, and it was a big contract, and I think it was like a week later
that Kimo van Oelhoffen happened.
I think, yeah, he had that season-ending injury. And then fast forward to just this year, it was, I think, only two days after he signed his big contract he had to go in the IR because of an injury.
I mean, yeah, that's going to be interesting. I don't know that Arizona has the cap space to play with that, but it's a hell of a rumor. I'll grant you that. I think business makes it so that's all that it could really be indeed is a rumor. But, you know, whatever. We'll leave that at that. Well, despite Brian House sucking like a vacuum cleaner on overdrive with a jet engine, we've managed to get through the first half hour of the show here. And so we're going to go ahead and stay on schedule and take a quick break. You're listening to the Student of the Game on NGSC Sports, NGSCSports.com, and we'll see you guys after the break. You know, guys, I got to tell you, nothing sets up Playoff Awesome quite like this music. And we're about to talk Playoff Awesome here pretty soon. But we ran a little time in the first half of the show to talk about this. Let's go ahead and hit him up here. Jack Del Rio, your coach of the Oakland Raiders. Raiders, whatever. He was the acting head coach for the Broncos when Fox had his heart issues, and also did some good things in Jacks, keeping the Jacksonville Jaguars threatening or making the playoffs in the AFC South during his tenure with such esteemed quarterbacks as Byron Leftwich and David Garrard. David Garrard was the best quarterback that Del Rio coached, I think. I mean, you know, since Mark Brunell was sent to pasture too soon. That's right, I said it. But Del Rio in Oakland, Chris, what says you, my man? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, Oakland has a lot of work. You could say, yeah, it's a start because, I mean, you brought in some defensive players last year.
Khalil Mack specifically.
Right, and then also Justin Tuck. And
yeah, that's a Twilight move, though.
Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson.
Also a Twilight move. I mean, granted, but that's enough. I mean, but you need that in place to train young players. I'll grant that for certain.
Right, so, I mean, they drafted the last couple of years on the defensive side of the ball, and it's just their defense is still gives up a crap load of points. So,
well, do they give a crap load of points, or are they put in a position where a rookie like Derek Carr, who, despite being pretty good, is oft struggling because of poor protection and a mediocre offense around him? I don't know. What say you?
Right. I mean, as I said, it's a lot of work. You don't know what's going on, but, I mean, if he can solidify what he has on the defense already with the people they brought in, and he can only concentrate on there, he just needs a offensive-minded coach to come in for that offense coordinator. I mean, I don't know if they're going to keep Sperano, which I don't.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't at all. Yeah, granted, they won two games, three games, whatever, underneath him.
Yeah, but, I mean,
it's still not all that great. It's the Raiders still right now. I mean, he brings that.
They won three games total. They didn't win three games under Sperano. They did win two. I mean, one of them being a Niners team that had pretty much quit.
I mean, Del Rio does fit the Raider, like, kind of like Raider Nation, though. Just how, just has his presence, you know, that hard, kind of hardcore a little bit.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he is the closest. I don't want to say this. I think of a lot of Raider coaches of late, he is the best. He has the best reputation. He's the most esteemed. In Hugh Jackson's defense, he did good, and then raised his stock out in Cincy, so he wasn't an esteemed coach when he got there. But I mean, he's Tebow mania short of making the playoffs that year in 2011. Del Rio is the best coach they've actually pulled in here to coach this group. I mean, in the past, what do you got? Tom Cable, Art Shell, Lane Kiffin. I mean, not exactly an elite group. So from that standpoint,
I think there's a couple more coaches in there too.
Dennis Allen, do you know who that is?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
Hugh Jackson there too. Or?
I said Hugh Jackson. Okay, that was the lead.
Okay, I didn't.
Oh,
I didn't
now I know I make mistakes, but no. But
yeah. Well, I'm like, there's like two more coaches at least because it seemed like there was one every year.
And you know what? You probably, well, actually, keep in mind it was Tom Cable, then Archell, then Tom Cable. I think Tom Cable came back at least once.
Right.
You know. So I mean, it's the point is this. Do you really need to remember who their names were? Because chances are they didn't do diddly squat, except for Hugh Jackson. He's the only guy that did anything, which, interesting enough, to bring it back, Carson Palmer as well being involved with that campaign. But I like Del Rio. I think he's just tough enough to get some guys, you know, going. Honestly, at this point now, in my mind, it's going to come down to what they draft. And I mean, pop quiz, guys. Raiders should focus on the O-line first. Weasel.
Yeah, they need to.
Okay.
Carr looks like he can be maybe their future.
Okay.
But
at least
the thing
their
is
future, right.
Yeah, you got to protect him. You got to, you know, have it so that he'll make it through the season.
Right.
So.
And I mean, you got Peyton Manning on the decline. I'm not saying that he's bad, but he's going to retire soon regardless of what rumors may be or people trying to call Peyton Manning mediocre or any of that crap. I mean, the dude's 39 years old. He's going to retire soon. That's just truth. Okay. Alex Smith getting up there in years as well. Not really an impressive quarterback. Phillip Rivers is getting up there. He's at year 11. Something's going to happen. And I think if Carr can hang in there for a few more years and be something, the Raiders could retake the top of this division. It's kind of wacky sounding, I know. But, I mean, right, Chris?
Yeah. I'd actually, if I was a Raider, I'd try to go probably after Peyton Manning so he'd bring him in as offensive coordinator.
It's an interesting thought, but Tony Dungy made an interesting point that Peyton Manning might be a bad coach because he's going to expect everybody to be just as good as he was, and he's going to be sadly disappointed It would. It's an interesting point.
But really, in the draft, they have what, number four pick overall, I believe.
I think you're right.
If the Bucks and
Titans
go quarterback, the Jags aren't going to receiver. I'd go Amari Cooper, the underclassman from Alabama, if I was the Raiders. And then I concentrate after on offensive line then. Because you need a receiver there in Oakland to help Derek Carr. And then I would go offensive line.
You don't believe in Rod Streeter?
No, I do not.
No, I do not.
They did find their running back with Latavius Murray, who they drafted 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
So they showed that late on the season that, you know, they have a running back now. You know,
and
that's
if he stays
star.
Healthy. Is right. That not the tagline for Raider running backs, if he stays healthy, you know?
Right. So I'd say if Amari Cooper's there at number four, you gotta draft him. Yeah, he's a playmaker there. If he's not, then you go offensive lineman.
Fair enough. Hey Weasley, you ever notice that when Chris is definitive is about something, he refuses to use contractions. So you don't believe in Rod Streeter? No, I do not. So does that mean you've stopped? Does that mean you were incorrect about? Incorrect about Odell Beckham being a Rookie of the Year candidate? Yes, I was.
You hear me answer like, Weasel?
So, Chris, do I have a chance to win the study hall this year? No, you do not. Anyways, speaking of things that didn't have a chance to win, how about that segue, huh? Speaking of things that didn't have a chance to win, let's get that playoff music on. Colts! Patriots. Hey, I got to do something to make this game look interesting. Weasel!
In week 11, the Colts lost to the Patriots 42-20. They had a rematch in New England for the AFC Championship game.
Oh, it was on!
And the Patriots flat out dominated.
That's
as
when
the
I
Patriots
off.
Headed to the Super Bowl with their 45-7 victory over the Colts.
So Chris, how about that instinct you have?
Yeah.
Yeah, I last week in the study hall, I even had the Patriots down on that, and I had a feeling they're going to win, but I was like, you know what? Colts got me last week. Let's see. So they're not going to get me this week. So
you didn't get that one right?
Yeah.
No, I didn't get that one right.
Not at all.
Yeah. You got Colts quarterback Andrew Luck, 12 of 33. Yeah.
Yeah, not so much.
126 yards, 2 INTs, not sacked.
We got Chris?
I was about to say, what was that percentage? 12 of 33?
That's under 50.
Can we just say it's really bad?
I'll just see if there's another quarterback that has worse than that or not. So.
That was close. More on that later.
Yeah, close. Now he got it for out of the four. So
you got running back Daniel Heron, 10 carries, 51 yards, while rookie running back Zerlon Tipton. That's an awesome name.
Does that not sound like a futuristic quarter or like comic book? The galaxy's in danger. There's only one man who can save them all. Zerlon Tipton.
It's like they need to go over to the Texans and pick up Merciless.
Oh, yes.
And convert him to fullback. And so you got Merciless.
Wait a minute.
Blocking for Zerlon.
I got this. Okay, it's not the fullback, right? You get him. He gets. Well, actually, wait. Merciless is already in Houston, right? Okay.
Right.
And Tipton plays for the Colts. So when they play Egyptian, when they play each other, it's Zerlon versus Merciless. Oh, here's the thing: we're gonna do it twice next season, baby. Woo, Weasel.
You got Colts wide receiver T.J. Hilton, pretty good year this year. He had
one
catch.
T.Y.
Just call him Eugene.
Not T.G. T.Y. Come on.
Hey, he had.
How would you pantomime TJ?
The guy had one catch for 36 yards, so it's okay if I got his name right. Hey, got it wrong. It's all right. Everyone else was under 36 yards, which is pretty bad.
That one 36-yard catch he got was probably the single best throw in the game by both sides, and it just didn't matter. Weasel.
And you got Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, 23 of 35, 226 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 INT, sacked once. Oh, you got running back LeGarrette Blount, was formerly with the Steelers.
Correct.
But he was cut in November and days later signed with the Patriots. Fishy!
What's fishy about it?
The guy gets acts up think he left early from a game to get dressed in.
Well, let's
and
be
to leave.
Clear. This is the guy that sucker punched somebody back in his college days at Oregon. Then that sucker punched somebody else early in his career at a camp in Tennessee. He's not exactly what I would call a prime candidate, not to mention in the offseason this year, ironically, being named Blunt, by the way, was caught in an oddly smelling car with smoke protruding from it with another running back in Pittsburgh. Perhaps you've heard of Le'Veon.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, Chris.
Yeah, is that the new scent for weed now? Le'Veon?
Oh, no. Hey, I think it's bad enough when I... Hey, Weasel, let me ask you this question. Would your analysis be that LeGarrette Blunt smoked the defense?
Yes, he did.
Would he also say that he lit up the joint?
Mm-hmm.
Carry on.
He had 30 carries for 148 yards and 3 touchdowns.
That's a lot.
He only had 148 this year. He's slacking.
I know, right?
Last year against Colts, he had like 200.
He had like 3 touchdowns, I think, last year. At least four.
He had 4 last year.
Did he?
Against the Colts, right.
Wow. I know that Jonas Gray had 4 against him in the regular season. Anyways, Weasel.
So Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman had 9 catches for 98 yards. Tight end Rob Gronkowski and fullback James Devlin each had touchdowns.
Gronk. So
you got early in the third quarter, Patriots offensive tackle Nate Solder.
I see, and I always have to stop when I say that because I always want to call him Soldier.
Yeah. 6'8", 320 pounds. He took a short pass, 16 yards for a touchdown.
Boom.
It's pretty awesome.
I saw the play. It was just like, you know, it was one of these things where the other tackle, number 71, I forget his name, was reporting eligible all game, and they switched it up that one time. Keep in mind, they actually reported it correctly. And no coverage.
You said 18 yards?
I think it was like 16.
16? All right.
He had
it. I got an offensive tackle. I beat that later on.
More on that later.
So that was not the only play on Sunday that was a big man with football.
Uh-oh.
That's a spoiler for later.
Oh, no, that's a teaser.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
The Patriots were up 14-0 until late in the second quarter when Colts running back Zerlong Tipton. He had a 1-yard touchdown run. Now, the rest of the game was...
Wait, Weasel. Who was that running back again?
Zerlong Tipton.
Sweet.
He had a 1-yard run for a touchdown, and the rest of the game was all Patriots. They scored the final 31 points. And before the end of the first half, on a first and goal at the 3, the Colts defense stopped Brady, forcing a field goal. That was the high point for the Colts defense.
Yeah, they were still 6-for-7 in the
They were bad at everything
game.
Else. Yeah. Now, third down efficiency was 3-of-11 for the Colts and 12-for-18 for the Patriots.
I'm glad you cited that.
Patriots dominated in the red zone with 6-of-7 touchdowns. Colts were only 1-of-1. So, in Luck's career, his numbers against the Patriots are 6 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Do y'all see the Patriots owning Luck for most of his career?
Well, I mean, that's a fair question. I think... Let me ask you, pop quiz, guys. Can we say at any point in time in his 4-year career thus far that Luck has had a good defense in Indianapolis? Chris?
No.
Nah, yeah.
So, there you go. Now, granted... It ain't the defense's fault that he's throwing the ball away 10 times. But, you know, I mean, this is the kind of thing that Bill Belichick forces young players to do. It's nothing new.
So whenever you hear the word investigation, the team that you think of are the Patriots. there is word that they were deflating footballs during the game, and that supposedly makes the football easier to grip. And if the NFL finds the Patriots at fault... They can lose draft picks.
Well, I mean, even if that is true, the only thing that really should be deflated is the Colts franchise because they still don't have a goddamn defense. I'm just saying. See what I did there?
Yeah, and Bill Belichick did say that we'll cooperate fully.
Otherwise, they'll feel the wrath. Zerlong Tipton!
So, yeah, that game wasn't that entertaining. But unless you're a Patriots fan.
Yeah, that game was pretty boring. You should go ahead and just start reading comic books like The Adventures of Zerlong Tipton.
Zerlong and Merciless.
Well played,
Weasel. I tell you, man, bring defense end over to the fullback, Merciless,
hey,
man.
Hey,
I mean,
hey. I
Merciless block away from Zerlong.
I like the hero-villain relationship there better. I'm sorry. I mean, Merciless is a good villain name, and it's a good name for a defensive end. It writes itself, my man. I don't know. Hey, we both know that Zerlong Tipton is a better running back than Trent Richardson, so it could happen. I'm just saying. You know, that's how bad that game was. We had to make up a comic book character. Good job, Weasel. You made that game way more entertaining for sure. So let's go ahead and stop here. Let's go ahead and get something that's a little bit more playful for Chris to do his game. We're not doing the study hall anyway this week, so. Packers, Seahawks, Chris.
All right. When the Seahawks heard that the game was a 3 p.m. kickoff, they should have realized that it was the Eastern time and not the Pacific time. If they didn't show up until there's less than 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter to score 2 touchdowns and take a short lead.
That explains something. That's better than I got.
All right. The Pack came back to force overtime in five plays, but the Seahawks beat the Packers 28-22 to head to the Super Bowl to try to win back-to-back.
You know, you're the only person I've heard referred to anything that the Packers did as a comeback in this game, but I digress.
The Packers need to look at this game hard and see what happened as they held the Seahawks offense to only 79 yards in the first half, but they couldn't put the ball in the end zone early, and they kept the Seahawks in striking distance to come back. In the first half, Russell Wilson's favorite target was Hussein, or you can say ha-ha as he goes by, Clinton Dix. The only problem was Clinton Dix is the safety for the Packers because he had 2 catches for 53 yards.
Well, I mean, it significantly improves Russell's completion percentage on the day.
Right, because you don't count those two. Plus, he had another interception in the first half. So it was 3 interceptions for Russell Wilson in the first half.
And in fairness, a lot of drops. I think I counted for the Packers especially, there were 3 or 4 by Jordy Nelson alone in the first quarter.
Right, and then also with Randall Cobb.
Correct.
So. But Russell Wilson was 1 for 9 in the first half. I know you don't like QBR ratings. Do you know what the QBR rating for Russell Wilson was in the first half?
Oh, why the hell not?
0. Wow.
Really? Hey, Johnny Manziel, sound familiar?
He finished with a QBR rating of 13.
Epic.
And he was 14 for 29, 48%, 209 yards with a touchdown with 4 INTs, and he was sacked 5 times. He had 25 yards rushing with a touchdown.
Still better than Manziel? Just saying.
All right. Aaron Rodgers, you know, if you look at his face in the game when he's come up to the line of scrimmage.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It seemed like he wasn't all into that game. It wasn't like he was motivated or anything. Maybe because he was taking part of being in Seattle. They got you can smoke pot for free or something like
that.
You know,
I was thinking something legalized. Like that.
That's what it looked like in his face. He looked like he was stoned walking up to the line.
Well, there could have been some kind of medication for his calf. I'll throw that out there.
Right. And so, I mean, I'll get more of that later of why he looked at this because some of the plays later on. But he was 19 for 34. I mean, yeah, he did have some drops. Jordy Nelson had 3 in the first half. Yeah. Randall Cobb, I think, had 5 on the day. So, I mean, he had 178 yards passing, 1 touchdown, 2 INTs.
And give some credit. I mean, they were balanced pretty well on offense. I liked what Lacy did in the running game as well. Starks was involved, too.
Right. The Packers in the first quarter, they kicked field goals from 18 yards and 19 yards. If you're under 20, you're inside the 1 yard. You're inside the 1 and the 2.
Okay, well, let's address this, because I know I got some very angry texts from you during this football game calling for resignations of various coaching staff there in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I don't think so. You got a defense like that, you can't just scratch off saying, oh, hey, they would have made it. I mean, this group... This defense ain't exactly trash, man.
Yeah, right, but here's the thing. All right, you go. Clinton Dix, his first interception, he returned it to the 3-yard line.
Right.
All right, you run the ball on first down. You get to the 1-yard line.
Right.
You get 2 yards on the first play.
Right.
Why don't do a play action pass when they're sacking the ball? They know you're going to get hand the ball off to John Kuhn because they do it all the time. You're going to hand the ball off to John Kuhn on the fullback dive. He gets stopped. Next play. Try to do the play-action pass or something to John Kuhn that'll work. They try to run the ball again and get stuffed again. You know you can't run up the core of the Seattle.
Well, right, and I'm glad you weighed that in. And I think something else that they were also afraid of is looking for Adams. Javon Adams?
Devontae.
Devontae Adams.
Right.
Who only looked good last week because of Sterling Moore, okay, of the Cowboys, was covered by Richard Sherman this week. And by the time we got to this point, had already been covered and led to an interception via Richard Sherman. That secondary is whether they should have been scared of him at that point or not, I think that was a factor in their head. Now, am I saying that's a good reason? No, but I'm trying to take you kind of their thought right. process so, on the sideline.
So the first one, yeah, I can see it kicking the field goal. But when you get a second, you get on the one again, dude, you got to go for it. You're playing to go to the Super Bowl. You got to take the chance. Your defense playing well at the time. You're already forced to turnovers.
That's exactly the reason.
You need to punch it in to go because, I mean, clearly, this is early on. You just forced two back-to-back fumbles. I mean, it was an interception, then you returned to the three-yard line. They kick a field goal.
Right.
Ensuing kickoff, Doug Baldwin, you strip the ball of Doug Baldwin. You get the ball inside the 20. Eddie Racy runs up the field for 13 yards.
Right.
For a first down, then you got first and goal from the 7. And then you can't put it in from there. I mean, they had a short pass on third down there. I mean, he got stopped on the 1 yard line, Randall Cobb.
Right.
You know, so...
Well, here's I see where you're going.
So,
with
so at
that.
Least that one was there, but I would have said on second or third down, I would have tried a play action pass.
Okay, well, now you're saying something different. Well, before you were saying that you go for it on fourth. If you're looking for a different play call on the series,
on,
I'm not going to argue
on,
with that.
On this second series, I would have gone for it on fourth. The first one, I would have kicked the field goal.
Okay, I would have taken the field goal on both, and especially for this reason, especially after the Doug Baldwin turnover. Okay. You don't want to do anything to give the momentum back to them. You're in the freaking house with the 12th man. I mean, that's got to be a factor. Weasel, you've been waiting for a second here. What do you got?
Okay, so for that first time, I think, the two times they were at the 1 yard line.
Right.
Fourth down. The reason I would say maybe for both of them go for it, but at least the second one, is that even if you fail, Seattle's going to get the ball at the 1 yard line.
Right.
And I don't think they're usually the team to take it all the way down the field type of thing. But then you'd have a punt, and most likely the punt, if they stopped them on in three downs, the punt would go about to the 50 or so, and you'd still have good field position. Now, if you make one of the two, going for it twice, if you make one out of two, you're still up 1 point than if you were to take the field goals. So, but I think may get to this, but the only thing to keep in mind about this is that there were 6 points off of 5 turnovers for Rodgers. That's bad. And those were those two field goals. Otherwise...
And some of them were given back by Rodgers as well. Which, you know, let's say they got stopped on these two efforts, and then Rodgers is also handing them the ball back on other turnover opportunities. Then we saw how close this game ended up. They're completely screwed. And I'll get more into it later as we're going, because there's other factors here I want to put in. But on the surface right now, I see what you guys are saying. That's not what I'd have a problem with in their approach. I'm with Chris. Maybe you want to mix things up a little bit. You got Lacy rolling. Give Rodgers an opportunity. But I think they got scared because you got guys dropping balls, and you already got an interception to Richard Sherman at this point. I don't know. Chris.
Yeah, so the Packers took a 16-0 halftime lead. I mean, the only really consistency for the Packers was Mason Crosby, as he was 4-for-4 in field goals. Two of them were into the wind from 48 and 49.
Yeah.
They're saying gust up there. They're like 20-mile-an-hour winds, and he's kicking 48, 49-yarders still. In the third quarter, Seahawks had a little creative as they called a fake field goal on punter John Ryan threw a 19-yard pass to backup tackle Gary Gilliam for a 19-yard touchdown. Cut the lead 16-7.
Can we talk about how good a call this actually was? Because I heard people on the radio here in Florida say, well, if you play conservative and you get in coverage, in field goal coverage, screw you. All right? At that point, the Seahawks are freaking down 16-0. It is absolutely stupid as hell to risk points coming off the board. And that in itself is kind of the genius of the call. I mean...
But that's why you got to look at defense. You got to look. When you haven't got anything, you're looking... The other team's looking for a spark. And that's when they always do the trick plays.
Yep.
And so with the defense, should have gone, okay, we're not going to try blocking this field goal. Let's let them kick it. I mean, it'll be 16-3. At the time, you know, okay, you're still up by 2 scores. Still up by 13. You're still up by 2 scores.
That's easy to say now.
But
I think
no, I would have still done. Said, watch the fake. Watch the fake. I always do it in the third quarter. If you're up, you've been stopping the other team, watch the fake. They need something. They want to go to the Super Bowl. The Packers didn't look like they really wanted to go to the Super Bowl going in the second half.
Yeah, they did. I'll admit, they seemed a lot less intense. But, I mean, from I you know, from knowing you as long as I have, that does sound like something you would say and do, hey, watch the fake. But for all these other guys who I know don't do that stuff,
They're trying to be heroes of the modern age. They're trying to be Captain Hindsight. I love that South Park episode, by the way. Chris, continue.
Oh, and I'll say something about the punt. The punt? Well, the fake.
Got it.
Go ahead. It'll come back.
Oh, for the fake field goal? Okay, we'll touch on it.
Oh,
later.
Yes.
Got it.
Sorry. So the tackle was lined up. I guess the guy all the way to the right. He was lined up across from, I believe it was AJ Hawk.
Okay.
And what messed that play up was that when he started running, the punter, the holder, started running to the left. Instead of picking up the big guy that was running directly at him,
Hawk tried to make the play.
He went for the tackle.
Correct.
If he stayed with him, doubtful that he would have been there for a lobbed pass. Very doubtful if he would make that catch. But he was wide open.
But Hawk's not that great a guy in coverage either. I think he's better off trying.
He's playing like a 300. He's going up against a 300 pound guy or something.
And a former tight end though.
That's why AJ Hawk plays mostly on the bench.
Damn.
As he got replaced by a rookie.
I looked at it and I was like, he runs right at him.
It is aggressive though. I agree with you.
It's aggressive, but. Stupid.
It's over. You should have. Yeah. What so. I should say. No, I'm following you, Basil. You make a good point.
It was a good play call.
Chris.
All right. So in the fourth quarter, the Seahawks' next touchdown came with 2:09 remaining as they rode Marshawn Lynch on the ground and through the air. He had 25 carries for 157 yards on the day, 6.3 average with a touchdown.
And we're skipping a lot of time in here, by the way, where no scoring is going on. They're exchanging turnovers. Yeah. Continue.
Yeah, Eddie Lacy on the ground with 21 carries, 73 yards, 3.5 a carry. I mean, he had some good runs, some hard runs.
Yeah.
But in the fourth quarter, when they needed him run or whatever, that's what I was saying with Aaron Rodgers. He looked high or something like that. He's coming to line of scrimmage, and the Seahawks are putting 9 guys in the box. Not 8, 9. They have them like, all right, we're going one-on-one coverage outside, which they can do with the corner.
I dare you, motherfucker, throw the ball.
Right, and so he doesn't try to check down to a run to a pass to a fullback or tight end or something like that because you know there's less than 5 minutes in the game, you're up 16-7.
And they're desperate,
and you only waste a minute off the clock running the ball. Yeah, they did burn 2 timeouts, but why not on that first down? On first down, you see that they're going to blitz. Audible to a screen. I'd say it all the time. What beats a blitz? A screen. Audible to the screen, you dump it out with Eddie Lacy. They're coming at you.
Yeah.
He lost 4 yards on the play. Then he lost 2 yards on his next one. And then he gained 2 yards. So he lost. They were at 3 plays, and they only took a minute off the clock.
I'll say this. If you're a good offense, you should be able to take more than a minute off the clock. I get that the Seahawks are a good defense. But they had opportunities.
And right.
They just didn't take advantage.
And that's when it was 16-7. And then the Seahawks come down and score that touchdown. It was the Russell Wilson 1-yard touchdown.
You said it earlier, the fake field goal brought the momentum back. And I think it also deflated the Packers as well.
Right. And that's what, I mean, that was even in the third quarter. But I was looking at it like Aaron Rodgers, just his facial expressions the whole game, just coming to the line. It was just like that dull stare, like, I got the munchies or something.
The credit to
Doritos.
The Skittles.
New sponsorship.
Skittles. That's what they sell in Seattle.
They
Skittles.
Already got Skittles for Marshawn Lynch. I mean, let's add another one at the discount double check. Oh, Hans and Franz will be pissed if he starts.
Well, they are cheeseheads, nachos.
I think the Tally in South Park.
Want to get her?
Discount double check. You're a towel.
So
don't forget to bring a towel when you want to save money on your car insurance. Although credit to Rodgers, he did limp for a first down on a 12-yard run. Anyways,
right.
Chris.
So when the Seahawks scored a touchdown with 2:09 remaining, what did they need to do? Onside kick. All right. It went off the Packer, Brandon Bostic's hand, helmet, whatever, everything in general, which he wasn't even the guy. It wasn't even his duty to catch the ball. He's supposed to block. He's a tight end.
From what I saw from, I think it was Billick was talking about it on NFL Network.
Right.
Pretty much you have, I guess, two levels. You have the first level of guys, most of them, you block.
Right.
You
just
block the guys
the hell out of people.
So that the guy in the back, the second level,
Jordy Nelson.
Your wide receivers catch the ball.
Yeah. But that guy, he just stood there. And I was like,
Oh, no. Hold on.
He jumped.
Well, no. It was going right to him.
Well,
he just
Jordy
stood
Nelson
there.
Was just standing there. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he was expecting it to fall to him, but
I'll give this much credit to Brandon Bostic. If he catches the football,
Hero.
That he sold out. Oh, well, not Hero, but we're certainly not talking about this.
Yeah,
right?
Of course not. Yeah,
I mean,
we're talking about the Packers in the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, exactly. We're already skipping over another play that really is a factor here as well. But we'll get to it later,
yeah.
Chris.
Yeah. So I mean, so the Seahawks recovered, and then Lynch finished the job. He had a 24-yard touchdown run.
Right.
Like a couple plays later. Randall Cobb had seven catches, 62 yards with a touchdown. Like I said before, he had four or five drops. Doug Baldwin had six for 106 yards. And then Jermaine Kearse had one catch for 35 yards. And that 35-yarder was in overtime.
Okay. It's not often that I get onto your craft on the air about how you build things up.
Right. Yeah, I know. They scored, then the Packers came down, kicked the field goal. I mentioned that earlier.
No. This is the buildup. Here's the stats for Jermaine Kearse. Six targets on the day. Four interceptions when he was targeted. One incompletion for only one catch. That catch, however, happened to decide the football game in overtime. That's how you deliver that.
Right.
Anyways, go ahead, Chris.
So, like I said before, it should have been a blown out. I mean, five turnovers for the Seahawks, the two to the Packers. Red zone, the Packers were only 1 for 3. Seahawks were 2 for 3. I mean, even if they would have scored one of those, like I said, if they went for it on there, it'd still be
we're
1 for 3.
We're
going to
touch on that again in a minute. Weasel.
Well, something that I thought was like, you know, a pretty big turning point for the game was that you got 5:09 remaining in the game, fourth quarter, of course, and then you got Morgan Burnett. He got an interception off a tip pass.
Yes.
And he was at the 30.
That was to Kearse, was it not?
I believe so, yeah.
Carry on.
He was at the Packers' 38-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So instead of return it to as far as he can go, at least a slide, he runs 5 yards forward, and he slides. And you slide like that at the end of a game. Like you make the interception, woohoo, type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, he slid 5 yards. He had room to go. He could have had some blockers. And for a team that has trouble getting into the red zone or you know, they need as many points as they can get,
yeah.
He just slid.
On his defense, he looked up and Marshawn Lynch was running at him.
Was he there?
Marshawn Lynch wasn't that far away from him.
Yeah, okay.
But you gotta look at this. You're on your Packers defense, you intercept the ball with 5:09, you're up 16-7, you're giving the ball to Aaron Rodgers. Why chance running
stripped.
The ball and getting stripped and handing it right back instead of just going down, conserving the ball, and hoping your team takes off 3 or 4 minutes of the clock, they only took a minute off that time.
I mean, Eddie Lacy also was running good up to that point, too. I'm not saying you're wrong, Weasel, but there's a lot bigger crimes committed in this game.
Yeah, there's another one that Clinton Dix dropped a sure interception, which he would have taken to the house to settle it there right before that play.
Already had two picks.
I know. It would have been a three, and there was no one near him. And then also, he was the one with the Seahawks when they went up 20. I ran it. They went up 20-19. They went for two. And Russell Wilson was running around the pocket and throws a 500 ball up. And Luke Wilson caught the ball. Clinton Dix was there and just misread the play.
Weasel get his last thing in here before I touch on that. Weasel.
Well, the thing about that, you know, where they just the guy slid early. But the thing is when you're at the 43-yard line, first down, you run. About 2 yards, I would say. You run again. You get about 3 yards. You get 2 yards the next one. So what he did was a run, punt. And that was, I think, Seattle did take two timeouts, I believe, from that.
And that's what Chris was saying, right?
Minute nine. Took out just off a minute because the first run was -4 yards. Second run was -2. Third run was 2 yards.
Exactly. And it's like McCarthy is the one that, you know, with the play calling and stuff, it's like there was no urgency. And
I'll give you this. McCarthy coached conservatively. I think Pete Carroll would have done a play action pass on second down. And tell me that wouldn't have worked. I know I'm playing Captain Hindsight right now, but you and I, Chris, hell, Weasel too, you guys have heard me shout play action in live action games on TV for better than an MF in decade. All right? I'm just saying. Anyways, Weasel, you good there, Weasel?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, so let's go back to this two-point conversion. Haha, Clinton Dix was in the area, Chris. Yes, he should have made a play on it. It was very Raheem Moore-like. This ball was thrown so expletive deleted bad.
500.
No. You threw better balls in 500 than this, okay? Oh, I hear this trash. Russell Wilson got lucky on that play. He owes Luke Wilson a lifetime supply of the beer of his choice. Okay? It's just that simple. And without that play, the onside kick doesn't matter. Without the onside kick, or excuse me, I should say, Brandon Bostic, it doesn't matter. Without that complete lackluster defense and Jermaine Kearse showing up 56 minutes or more late to the game, no one cares if they went for those field goals early in the game.
Exactly.
That's my point. There's four worse crimes committed. Five if you count this only 1 minute off the clock. But you want Coach McCarthy to risk taking points off the board. I don't agree with you, brother. I'm sorry. See, when I put it that way, it makes more sense, right?
He still should have gone for it. I don't care.
Hey, man, I've known you nearly 3 decades. Right. We could agree to disagree on that expletive deleted. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you got to want to win. You know, it's just, you can say, oh, it's early, take the points, whatever. But that right there, when I saw those three plays.
Ball, two-point conversion isn't good enough for you.
No.
The dropped ball on the onside kick.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying those. But it was leading up to that. It was really the tipping point was the three plays. For -4 yards, then you'll take a minute off the clock on that one.
Sure.
When they have 9 guys in the box, and you know you can't say because it can go on Rodgers too. But why don't the offensive coordinator say, "Hey, let's get them on first down"? They think we're going to run the ball because we're up. Let's do play action pass on first down.
Second.
I would have gone first.
Okay.
You might see it on second when you lose 4 yards. Now you got 2nd and 14. Oh, they might pass on this one, so they can try to get shorter. I'd go on first down. They're like, hey, they're going to run the ball, play action, dump it. They did it before with their tight end, Rodgers.
Yeah.
They did it for a first down because,
and they even,
you know.
They even tried Starks for a long ball in a similar style play. True that Starks dropped it.
Yeah. That was another one that could have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was right there at the goal
that
line.
Would have been, and that would have at least set up another field goal.
Right. That would have been the game because that was early in the third quarter, too.
But you want to concentrate on going for these other touchdowns.
I mean, it was a touchdown at the beginning. I said that. I'm like, you need to go for the touchdowns. You can't only get away with field goals right there against the Seahawks.
Well, I mean,
you can't leave the Seahawks in the game in the fourth quarter with that defense.
Well, I mean, you said it earlier. What was our red zone percentage stat? 1 for 3 for the Pack, 2 for 3 for the Seahawks. That made the difference in the game. There is no other way to describe it. Because without that, we don't have that overtime. Period.
Right.
So, I don't know. With that, I had more, but that'll be our time this week. For once, we're not going to be hundreds of thousands of seconds late. Thanks again. Awesome stuff. Chris and Weasel will be back next week. We'll chat up a little bit. I'm going to talk about the Pro Bowl for a little bit because, hey, I'm sorry. This new format for the Pro Bowl, I watched it last year. It did something for me. I'm sorry. I had fun watching that.
You know?
Yeah, I like the draft that they do. They're doing the draft, I think, tonight. Is it? Tomorrow?
I thought it was Wednesday.
Yeah, they did it Wednesday last year.
Oh, they did Wednesday last year.
It'd be nice if they did it earlier. I can get started on my article sooner for the Matchup Mania because I'm predicting it's going to be up on Thursday night.
I'd actually like to wait till they do it. I like them to do it like championship night because then, you know, the players that are playing the Super Bowl, they're not making the Pro Bowl. Because they drafted them, then they put the filler players.
Well,
in. It'd be nice. I would just like it the week before, you know. Just do it.
I mean,
move the championship games up a little bit. I mean,
wow.
Move them up a little bit, then have the draft right after the last game. Just have the draft on there. That'd be kind of cool on TV or something.
They want those guys there at the draft too. So I mean, you know, put it on Monday. I'm cool with that. I don't know. Anyways,
it's but hey, you know what's actually kind of cool with the playoffs? I mean, championship week this past weekend, the four teams had every region covered from the NFL.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, Indianapolis is in Central, but they're playing the South. But so you had the South, East, North, and West. I thought it was kind
of
neat.
I didn't think of that. Well played. There you go. Okay, guys. Well, that'll do it for us. I'm Kyle Nash, a student of the game. Find me on Twitter at the SOTG. You can go to Weasel Weasel.
Yeah, boy.
Stephen Weasel Hurley at Weasel the SOTG. And you can confirm or deny Chris's requests to go for it. On fourth down the second time, you're within 5 yards of the end zone at Rank of the SOTG. It's
I get it. I just wouldn't do it. But you always call college football plays more aggressive than
right. I. Yeah, so and I would have chased him with a total hander, though. I'd fire him McCarthy, but someone already took that one.
Hey, man. I mean, this is a dude who called crackback plays in a kiddie flag league.
And they worked.
Oh, that's awesome.
Until our guy started enjoying it too much and started lowering his shoulder, thought he was playing tackle.
Well, we'll leave that to that. But until next time, everybody, class dismissed.